Before I share today's reading, I want to thank Reverend Brian Kiley, who's the minister at the Unitarian Church of Edmonton, and who's also president of the International Association for Unitarians and Universalists, the International Council. The topic for today's service, Can Eco-Spirituality Grow Eco-Justice, was one that Brian and I did as a confluence lecture in 2008 at the Canadian Unitarian Council's annual conference. Of course, it's a topic that continues to be relevant in our society, and it is one that's very important to me. So I thought I'd use it as an inspiration for this sermon, and I added thoughts that I've had since that time. The reading today is taken from the prologue from the Earth Charter, an international document published in 2000. We stand at a critical moment in Earth's history, a time when humanity must choose its future. As the world becomes increasingly interdependent and fragile, the future at once holds great peril and great promise. To move forward, we must recognize that in the midst of a magnificent diversity of culture and life forms, we are one human family and one Earth community with a common destiny. We must join together to bring forth a sustainable global society founded on respect for nature, universal human rights, economic justice, and a culture of peace. Towards this end, it is imperative that we, the peoples of Earth, declare our responsibility to one another, to the greater community of life, and to future generations. So, what will it take for people to act on this responsibility that I just spoke of? Our responsibility to the Earth community. I believe that people of faith have to be part of leading a change in consciousness regarding the nature of the reality in which we live. To make that change will require an intentional spiritual practice to support this transformation, a spiritual practice that informs our justice work. The roots of the concept of ecology come from the Greek oikos, meaning house, and logos, meaning words or study of a certain area, in this case, the home that shelters us. Ecology looks at the relationship between the living and non-living parts of that home and how they interact and affect one another. I use the term eco-spirituality to mean those intentional practices that awaken awareness of our connection within that ecosystem. As our understanding of these connections grow, so does our desire to act out of that understanding. These spiritual practices, for me, imply not only cultivating an awareness that we're connected, they also need to help us become more aware of how those connections show our interdependence with those other parts. Interdependence, as biologists remind us, is not something we seek. It's a description of what is. What I do affects that which surrounds me. We know that the ecosystem cannot exist without the forces that uphold life. Whether the coming together of the conditions necessary for life came from a divine force that is involved in the process of cosmic evolution, or the scientific Big Bang, or both, those forces are part of the inspiration that we can acknowledge in our spiritual practices. Those transformational forces can help effect change within the world and within ourselves. As we expand our consciousness of the self as part of the larger whole, the ecosystem, we can cultivate compassion for the other parts of that whole. It is compassion that can inspire actions that help to sustain the ecosystem. How do we approach the idea of justice so that it includes not only social or human-based equity, but also includes equity for other beings, in the ecosystem. Ecojustice recognizes the rights of both non-humans and human parts of the living community. We depend on one another for survival within the food chain. Yet we humans live as if our paradigm of the earth is that it's like a machine, one that can be easily tinkered with for our sole benefit. This paradigm continues to put humans at the top of the food chain, yet we know in practice we are not. If we do not care for other parts of the web, we humans will face huge losses in our species, while the cockroaches will thrive. Our understanding of justice, then, must include the other elements of the ecological system. To consider the question posed in the sermon title, Can Eco-Spirituality Grow Eco-Justice? Of course, we need to consider the relationship between those two. A spiritual practice takes an intention, an idea or belief, and through rational, emotional, spiritual, and physical exploration of that intention, it becomes more deeply rooted in our consciousness and, as a result, in our actions. Spiritual practice is transformational when it's undertaken with a clear intention, with regularity, and with a desire to deepen our relationship with life. If our intention is on expanding our sense of self from ego to eco, from an individual human with needs to being part of an ecosystem with needs, then those practices that use our minds and hearts, soul and body in making that transformation, it's those practices that will be most effective. Those practices then inform our understanding of what the ecosystem needs. Those spiritual practices work to build our relationship with other parts of that system. And it's that understanding then that will better inform what justice work will be the most effective. Eco-spirituality and eco-justice support one another by compensating where the other area is weak. Eco-spiritual practice can become too inward-focused. Connecting with nature is valuable and so necessary, such as walks in the wood to feel the spirit of life, to marvel at nature's beauty, to slow down and really witness the processes of nature. But such practices also need to connect with the bigger picture of the state of our ecosystem. Eco-justice work can inform us as to what state the ecosystem is actually in, the kind of damage that it's sustaining, and what we can do about it. Yet if we just have eco-justice work without deeper spiritual renewal, we run the danger of becoming exhausted and dispirited when we encounter too much resistance. We need regular eco-spiritual practices that provide us with the hope to continue. We need the clarity of vision that those practices provide to help us discern what are the right things to do. Eco-justice work can also help because as we act, we gain strength from knowing we are making a difference. Eco-spirituality then sustains us as we do the work of eco-justice. Eco-justice feeds and nurtures that eco-spiritual spark. I believe this theory that I'm postulating because I've seen it work. Yet I worry about the future. I don't know if enough privileged human beings will make the necessary changes and force our governments and businesses to do likewise, but we have to try. Because we will sleep better when we know that we're doing all we can. Because we will be able to face our grandchildren and say, I did all I could for the earth you will live on. I believe we gain inspiration and hope for the necessary paradigm shift from ego to eco by looking at past paradigm shifts that have happened in our worldview. One significant time of paradigm shifts was in the 1960s and 70s. For various reasons, People began to rise up and claim their personal power. Consciousness-raising groups were formed as people at first started to educate themselves and one another, and then to organize and act. There was no teacher or expert. The answers had to be uncovered and internalized, not merely heard and accepted. The bonds of friendship, shared oppression, solidarity, and for some, religious beliefs, became the glue in the emerging communities and the inspiration for action. Their justice work was supported by community practices. Many of these practices were spiritual in nature. In the American Civil Rights Movement, for example, gospel singing linked history with action and gave heart and solace to marchers. The peace movement was energized by slogans and both folk and rock music and a life-affirming acceptance of the human body. A little later, the feminists drew their strength from deep sharing within group circles. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, and later transgender people found their power by transforming the anger generated by abuses against them into the energy to advocate for changes in laws. In the 60s and 70s, these were pivotal paradigm shifts in our understanding of what it means to be human. Equal rights meant learning to accept rather than just tolerate differences within our species. It meant opening our definition of human to include gender, race, sexual orientation, and later age and ability and so many other distinguishing features. It meant, in the end, acceptance of the inherent worth and dignity of every person. It meant mirroring that acceptance in our behavior and institutionalizing it in our laws. Now that made for the paradigm shift. Our world has been changed as a result. We can learn from these shifts as we seek a change in understanding what it means to include all beings as part of the Earth community, not just these various understanding of what it means to be human. I'd like to offer an example from our religious movement and explore a Unitarian theological grounding of how eco-spiritual practices can grow eco-justice. For anyone who's visiting us today and not familiar with our tradition, here's just a little bit of background. As part of a religious movement that began in the 1600s in Europe, Unitarianism is founded on religious freedom, acknowledging an individual's rights to search for truth and meaning, while also building democratic communities with common values who work for peace and justice. Over time, Unitarianism has come to recognize various sources that humans have turned to for wisdom and inspiration in their desire to understand the universe and their role in it. In North America, these sources include the world religions, as well as our knowledge of science and the use of reason in matters of religion. Unitarians also recognize the importance of individual experiences of transcendent mystery. As John mentioned earlier, while Unitarians are a non-creedal faith community, we affirm a set of common principles which are reviewed and changed over time through a democratic process. Unitarians have worked alongside other like-minded religious and secular groups in the ecological movement since the 1970s. This work brought about changes in our consciousness. A Unitarian eco-theological grounding was recognized in the 1984 revision of the Unitarian Universalist Association's Principles Statement. The congregational delegates voted to include, among others, the principle that John mentioned earlier. We covenant to affirm and promote respect for the interdependent web of all existence, of which we are a part. This was a significant step in our tradition's paradigm shift. Then, in 1995, 11 years later, the congregational delegates voted to recognize an additional source to the ones that were already listed: spiritual teachings of earth-centered traditions, which celebrate the sacred circle of life and instruct us to live in harmony with the rhythms of nature. Unfortunately, theology alone will not manifest change. Justice work has been done, and it's been important. But there are times when our democratically passed resolutions and resultant actions do not carry us far enough in making change. What kind of eco-spiritual practices will arise that will help us make the shift? What future eco-justice initiatives will Unitarians undertake alongside our allies so that we're acting out of this interdependent web of our existence? I'm optimistic that eco-spirituality has the potential to grow eco-justice because of my own personal experience. When I was minister at the Unitarian Church of Calgary, that congregation and I committed to eco-justice. Over several years, we worked to become recognized as a green sanctuary. It's a Unitarian designation that comes from enacting a plan to become more ecologically informed and responsible in various areas of our church and personal lives. This work was a necessary expression of my desire for justice. Sometimes I was so dispirited by the enormity, by living in an Alberta dominated by oil and gas development. And I found myself also running up against a wall. My personal willingness to make changes in my lifestyle. If I continued to see myself as a separate being, seeking my own happiness, I would never find the inner resources to make the necessary lifestyle changes and advocate for others to make them as well. I knew I needed to find a way to shift my consciousness so that my embodied experience of the Earth's interdependence didn't just last for that brief moment of mystical experience, but remained more central to my experience of reality. For me, that meant turning to my spiritual practices. Here are some that have helped me over the years. Through Buddhist loving-kindness meditation, I start to experience more often how inextricably linked I am with other beings. I develop a compassion for those beings with the use of that meditation, and I become more committed to caring about their wellness as well as my own. I intentionally set aside time to read books and watch films about the science of our ecosystem, finding inspiration from others' eco-justice work. For more communal spiritual practices, I do contemplative singing with singers of the Sacred Web. Many of the songs that we sing are about a closer relationship with the earth and seeking justice for its species. Through staying in touch with events through the World Wide Web, I cultivate the discipline of reading about current events, signing petitions, going to marches, advocating with my elected representatives so that my eco-spiritual practices take form in my eco-justice work. I believe it's these personal and communal spiritual practices that helped me feel ready to give up having a car when I moved away from Calgary, to move from a condominium into a one-bedroom apartment, and then into a household with others. I returned to taking public transport, using my feet and bicycle to get around, reducing the number of my own possessions and thereby reducing my ecological footprint. Now I imagine that most of you have also made changes in your lifestyle because of your concerns about our ecosystem and the state it's in. Yet no one person can get out of the societal trap of overconsumption and addictive behaviors within these frenetic schedules that we live in. We need to support one another to make the necessary changes and provide alternatives. We can spring each other from that trap if and as we develop the will to do so. In closing, eco-spirituality and eco-justice are symbiotic. They grow from one another. An individual can start with either and grow into the other. The path we are presently on holds great peril. We can't go on living this way. We have to change, either because we are afraid for what might be coming, or we are driven to do something better, or both. Fear can spur us on to action for the wrong reasons, but the desire for eco-justice through eco-spirituality calls us to look for a more positive and constructive way of thinking and being in the world. As we transform the path we are on, so that it also holds great promise, so might it be.